You are listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hi, everyone. It's Mackenzie. Welcome to another episode of the Meet Us in Buellton podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Kathy. Today, we have Puck Erickson with us. She's the vice president of the San Ynez Valley Botanic Garden. Welcome with us, Puck.
Thanks so much.
We're super excited to have you today. Let's just start out by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, Puck.
Well, first of all, I'm a landscape architect. That's how I became involved in the botanic garden in the first place. And I've lived in the San Ynez Valley since 1975 and have 6 children and 9 grandchildren.
Oh, so that's amazing.
Stay pretty busy.
That's awesome. Big families are good.
Very cool. Well, let's dive right into what we're talking about today. Tell us a little bit about the Botanic Garden and how it started and how you got involved with it all.
It started because my firm, Arcadia Studio, was hired to design a community park for the city of Buellton called Riverview Park. It's in a wonderful location down by the San Ynez River, which is responsible for creating the beautiful valley that we live in. And when we were designing the park, we became involved with Federal Fish and Wildlife, who monitors endangered species. Buellton is actually very lucky, a wonderful little bird, absolutely charming, called the Western Willow Flycatcher. One of its biggest nesting grounds is along the river right in the city of Buellton. And so they asked us to set aside a couple acres, actually 2.5 acres, for habitat for this little bird. And a group of us who are very interested in native plants and native species thought, well, it's a lot for the city to take on to actually establish true habitat. And we thought we could create a space adjacent to the park that would be a habitat not only for our native animals and plants, but also for human beings to enjoy. It is possible for us all to exist in a cooperative situation. So after a couple years of working with the city, we developed a public-private partnership called the San Ynez Valley Botanic Garden Foundation that was blessed by the city. And we worked together to start developing this garden from an old dump site. Mm-hmm. There were literally no trees. It was just piles of dirt that have been deposited from highway projects and housing projects. And so we regraded the whole thing and started with volunteers and planted about 73 trees. And that was 15 years ago. And when we started, we thought, we'll just plant some native plants and the birds will be happy. Maybe some people will come down and visit once in a while. And it has absolutely been embraced by the community. And it is just a place where many, many people in the community have literally discovered their creative selves and made places in the garden that we never envisioned when we started this over a decade ago.
Yeah, it's so true, Puck, and it's growing so much too. And I know you've touched on it a little bit about the impact it had on the community and, you know, the participation that the garden provides with the community, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that, like what kind of participation from the community or maybe just the impact it's had on the community.
Well, when we first started, and I think this was our first little clue, when we were planting all the trees, there was a small stand of willows on the site adjacent to the riverbed. And of course, we had families that were coming down to help us plant these trees. As I said, it was all volunteers. And there were kids that came along with the families, and they started running through the willow trees and creating little trails. And we realized that there is no better place for an 8 or 9 year old boy or girl than in amongst the willows. It's just a fantasy land for them. And so we decided, after watching them, that we would maintain these trails that they created. And that was our first sort of community project, literally created by children. And it's now called the Willow Maze. Mm-hmm. And after that, we realized that one of the keys to community building is collaboration. And there are a number of great nonprofits in the Valley, in the arts, and bird watchers who we became involved with, who now actually use the garden for children's programs and bird watching and adult crafts of all kinds. Every Christmas, people bring their own cuttings to the garden, and we gather cuttings from the garden, from the native plants, like California Christmas holly and the gray pine, and everybody makes wreaths. And mm-hmm. one year we were making wreaths, and this fellow walked by who works in the hospitality industry as a janitor, and he asked if he could make a wreath. And we were almost done, and we said, sure. And he said, well, how much is it? And we charged a little bit. And I could see him pause. And we just said, don't worry about it. Just take the frame and, you know, do your thing. And he made the most beautiful wreath. And he was so proud of it. And he was taking it home to his family for their little apartment. And it's those sort of small moments where people get together. And I've noticed also we've had groups of kids with autism who end up working with other, say, middle school groups. And they normally, frankly, don't interact that much. But when they're out in the garden, it's an open kind of environment where they start talking to one another and sharing stories and building bridges, which is just a wonderful thing to watch.
Yeah.
Wow, that is beautiful. I love that. I feel like it, like you said, it kind of really brings something out in people, just being out in nature, being able to meet other people in the community. That's really unique and special. I know we've touched on this a little bit, Puck, but what kind of educational opportunities are available for not only children, but adults as well?
Well, when we started the garden, we thought we might have a few signs, but due to high public demand, we now have over, I think, over 200 plants identified in the garden. People love to learn about their environment. I think in this age of changing environments and everything, there's something wonderful about learning the plants where you live and the trees. And we also have interpretive signs. And this year, well, we started late spring last year, but of course COVID sort of intervened, but we've started a docent program because we do get many visitors from all over. We have had emails. Our first email, international email, was from a woman who lives in England. And she wrote us this great email saying, you know, terrific, bloody good job. Enjoyed the garden immensely. Learned all about, you know, whatever plant she was special to her. And then we've had lots of visitors from China. And we've had people come as far as Bakersfield and Modesto for our workshops, which that's is awesome. Quite incredible.
Yeah, that's a trek.
So we have a docent program now where once a month we'll be doing tours of the garden to talk more in depth about the trees of the garden. We have an area of the garden dedicated to medicinal plants, which were used by the Chumash Indians Many people are amazed to find out that, of course, willow is the original plant that salicylic acid was extracted from for aspirin. That's how aspirin got started in the 1920s. So again, allowing people to discover the value of plants in our modern day culture.
Very good. Now, there's so much to do down there. I know when you talk about the visitors, we see people here at the visitor center come in and, you know, not everybody is wine drinkers or wants to go hiking or whatever. Everybody has different interests. And so we're always happy to share the botanic garden with them because it's just sometimes it's a little hidden gem down there and people might not know about it, but they usually always enjoy their time here. And it's so great. And I know I've seen the transformation through the years that you and the volunteers and other groups and nonprofit groups that come help throughout the valley, but that what things that they've done and catering to, you know, all ages. You've got a great kids area to run around and play in now and kind of run on and jump on because you didn't want all the plants really stampeded, but now you give them some logs and wood structures and things to run and jump on. And so it's just, you know, making a space for everybody to be able to enjoy the garden. And I know you have classrooms come down with children and learn, and there's so much going on down there at any given time. And the workshops, they do succulent pumpkins, and like Puck said, the wreath making. Those are some super fun things that are unique to our area that I think people are enjoying out of the Botanic Garden. So it's really, I think it's totally blossomed into more than maybe what the initial goal was, Puck, do you think? I mean, it just seems like it's become so much more.
Oh, absolutely. I think our first mission statement was a rather bland, boring thing that said the garden will encourage the public to gain knowledge about native plants or something like that. And now our mission statement is to create and maintain a place of refuge and exploration and creative discovery, basically for all who come. And one very recent example was the children's play area that you mentioned. One of our young community members carved this great car out of a log, locally sourced log. And this older man came down and he was carrying a steering wheel. And he said, "I've been watching the kids on this car and they need a steering wheel." And so he just showed up with one. And that's the kind of thing that happens. We had a birder who, one of our board members who walks there fairly frequently early in the morning, kept noticing this guy with his great camera. And our board member is a professional photographer. So he finally worked up his nerve and said, "You know, may I ask you what you're doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm taking pictures of all the birds in the garden." And he said, "Well, how many have you found?" And he said, "Oh, how many do you think?" And he said, "I don't know, 40? And he said, "No, I'm at about 78. And now we have reached our goal of over 100 birds identified in the city of Buellton.
Wow, that's incredible.
For people, there are so birding, I don't know if you know this, but birding as a hobby has exploded during COVID. And so if anyone is interested, the Botanic Garden is an absolutely fabulous place to birdwatch.
Interesting. That's really good to know. I didn't know there was so many species or whatnot down there either. So
it's incredible.
And
we hope to have, you know, once things settle down, we'd love to have a 100 bird celebration for Buellton, the birds of Buellton.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, even like a map or something, a chart to show what birds might that have been discovered down there that people can look for. That's great.
We're hoping, of course, you know, we are a nonprofit, so we have to raise all the money, but we're hoping to actually do a book of his photographs because it's quite incredible, and then do a link on our website to all the birds. We use QR codes in the garden.
Okay.
If anyone wants to try those out, they're kind of fun to learn more about. We don't want to just overpopulate the garden with signs. And there is so much information that people want and need as they also want to use more native plants in their own gardens. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of material that we post on the website.
Right.
That's great. And that's an easy way and a helpful way to help people really learn about it all. Talking about the birds again, Puck, is there kind of a really unique one or interesting one that's caught your eye?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Well, I have to say the Boy Scouts built some owl boxes for us and erected them. And literally in a matter of 2 weeks, both owl boxes were occupied.
Oh, wow.
One by a barn owl and one by a screech owl. And the other wonderful thing about this part of Buellton is that it's one of the few public places in the San Ynez Valley where you really get a sense of the San Ynez River. And you can look over the riverbed and in the tall trees along the river, see all the hawks nesting and their little babies walking around the edge of the nest. And we've seen eagles and then of course there are all the absolutely adorable little birds. Like we have many bluebirds that come in the spring and the Western Oriole. I am not a birder, but I'm trying to learn. And it's really kind of phenomenal.
Yeah. No, there's some great, it is fun. People enjoy that. I know Lake Kachuma too, they have the bird watching cruises out there, but just that's great that we have so many right here too at the park area. So I didn't realize that. And it is a hobby for people. It's a nice thing outside for people to do and bring a pair of binoculars and, you know, just scout them out. There's all shapes and sizes too that fly around here, like you say, up to the hawks and the owls down to the little ones. So
also we've noticed that a lot of people, more than I imagined, don't get to go outside that much or are a little tentative. And so the garden really is an environment where people feel safe and yet they're exploring. And it's sort of the first baby steps to exploring the natural environment of the San Ynez Valley. I think Buellton is a great sort of jumping off spot for them. And we, in our kiosk, we have brochures for like the Kachuma Nature Center and the Guadalupe Dunes and Sedgwick, and, you know, just to help people from the community and visitors connect with all of our wonderful outdoor spaces.
Mm-hmm. You know, Puck, for people who are maybe visiting for a short time here in Buellton, are there ways that they could participate? I know sometimes you have, you know, like Arbor Day, or there's different days the group tries to get, you know, together down there to do. It's a lot of maintenance. I know our Rotary participated recently, and it's a lot of work, like keeping, you know, things cleaned out and, you know, just making room for new plant growth and stuff. So is there anything like that maybe guests could do or visitors might participate in?
Absolutely. When what we do, California native plants are really summer dormant, we call them. So they like to take a rest in the summer. And so that's when we give everybody, all of our volunteers, a rest as well. Mm-hmm. And we will be starting up mid to late October, our volunteer work days again. Mm-hmm. And they are on our website. And this is a great story about your information of the Visitors Bureau and the City of Buellton. We had a volunteer day one day, and this young woman came up, and of course we want everybody to sign in and that kind of thing. And I said, gee, you know, I haven't seen you here before. Where are you from? And she said, Venice. Mm. And I said, Venice, California? And she said, yes. She said, and this was right in the kind of middle of COVID. And of course we were very, and remain fairly conservative about making sure that people, if they're volunteering, are spaced far apart in the garden. It's a wonderful way to be able to get out and feel safe and be able to talk to people, but they're, you know, 20 feet away kind of thing.
Right.
And she said her friends, she was probably in her early 30s. Her friends were, it was the weekend, and her friends had, she felt, made some bad choices in terms of what they wanted to do for the weekend. They were all going to, you know, go to Palm Springs or something together. And she didn't feel comfortable doing that. And she'd been to Industrial Eats before and loved it. And she thought, you know, I'm just going to drive up to have lunch at Industrial Eats. I'll see what else is going on. So she went to your site, saw the connection to the San Ynez Valley Botanic Garden, and is now a regular volunteer.
She
drives
awesome.
Up from Los Angeles.
Wow.
And she's even given thought to moving here.
That's great.
She's a young professional. And so, you know, these sort of serendipitous moments, we love to have people from all over. It's that wonderful cross-pollination that makes us all stronger and better.
Yeah, very cool. That's a great story, Puck.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I love that story. And attest to you, Kathy, you must be doing a pretty good job then. They can find all that good info on your website.
We try to share what we know. And, you know, as long as people are kind of keeping us posted too, we love to share it. Just the more people know, the more there is for them to do and extend their stay and come enjoy the area. So, no, it's just, I tell you, it's like, you know, like the Botanic Garden, all of our establishments here and attractions and businesses, they truly are the backbone of the community. And it's just our job to push that out there to everybody so they know about them. So we love it. It makes our job fun. And the more we have to do, the better, you know, we can promote more. So that's neat. I love it. I tell you, it's a gem down there. And people, once they discover it, I think, like you say, they're kind of hooked, Puck. I mean, you know, it's just, you can always learn something new every time you walk around. And I know when it first started, there was the trees were planted. You could like get a tree in memory of somebody and have one planted, which was a great way to kind of populate some of that tree population there. And I love the wishing tree that you guys did. I think that's just
that's
awesome.
Wonderful.
And it's, you know, if you have time to spend, I mean, there's definitely some that say, oh, I wish I won the lottery, you know, kind of things. But there truly are some people who put it all out there on these little note cards and tie it on a limb of the tree. And, you know, they might be struggling with an illness or relationship problem or an addiction or who knows what, but their wishing tree is, it tells a lot of stories. It's pretty amazing. I think that's a really neat feature in the garden. It's just, you know, a littler tree out there, but you see these little 3x5 note cards kind of flapping in the wind, and you can go up and read some of them, and it's amazing what people put on there. And so it's just a little elements and hidden surprises like that that I think make that so special down there. And again, I love sharing it with people that come to the area because it is something unique for our area. And a lot of people are enjoying just to be out in nature now and to be able to walk out, you know, side and outdoors. And it's not a strenuous hike or anything. So all ages can really get down there and see it. So, yeah, kudos to you guys, Puck. I know it's a lot of man work down there that goes into, and it's all volunteers. So like she said, it's nonprofit volunteer. And so any help is welcomed, I'm sure.
I just wanted to say too, I think in terms of the city of Buellton, since I've lived here for quite a while, the city has been so supportive of our effort. And I've watched the city of Buellton really become, I think, and embrace the potential of being the really green town in our valley, and that's welcoming and really embracing new environmental ideas and things that younger families are really interested in. And so the garden just was one of these steps that we didn't realize at the time when we were just talking about this little tiny willow flycatcher bird, what could come out of this.
Right.
And it's just been really great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. No, you guys have done a wonderful job for sure.
It's been super intriguing, Puck, to hear about all the ways you're trying to get the community involved and, you know, from every age too, from young to old. I've really loved learning about that today. I'd like to just close this episode with a question we love to ask all of our guests, and that is, what is your favorite thing about Buellton?
My favorite thing about Buellton. My favorite thing about Buellton is that it is absolutely authentic. It is a real town with real people. I think of the Mendenhall Car Museum, Industrial Eats, some of the wineries, Figaro Mountain Brewing starting there. It's an incubator town on so many levels. And I hope it never loses this ability to really embrace new ideas and new people and create. It just has an atmosphere where people feel like they can come forward and sort of plant their flag and start new businesses or have new visions, and that the city will really support them. And I think in this day and age that need or desire for authenticity and integrity is really something people are looking for. And you just get that feeling, whether you're at Mother Hubbard's or Ellen's, you know, there's some real characters behind those places. Or the Hitching Post. Everybody has a story that is a real story. It's not something that was drummed up as part of a branding campaign.
Right.
And I think people are very sophisticated these days, and they really get that. And that's what I love about this town.
That's awesome. Yeah. A lot of roots here, I think, in our business community.
Yep.
That was a perfect answer, Puck. You highlighted some people that we've even interviewed before. So I think that was really fun and have had on the podcast. And we're hoping to get to more of those businesses as well. There's so many.
Well, that's great.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Puck. We really loved learning more about the Botanic Garden and how visitors can really get involved. So thanks again.
And I hope maybe you'll fly out one day from Utah for a workshop.
Yes, I would absolutely love that. That would be amazing. It seems like it's a beautiful place.
All righty. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone. Don't forget to leave us a rating or review, and we'll talk to you next time. This has been another episode of the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Mackenzie Felstead and Kathy Breland, and produced by Relic.